Welcome back, everyone, to the Mastering Defense Infrastructure podcast. Whether you're tuning in from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or catching this episode as part of our member exclusives, we're so glad you're here with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. And if this is your first time hearing us, welcome to the community. We're about fostering opportunities in the defense sector and honestly, making these complex insights way less intimidating, right?
Exactly. In phase one of this course, we explored the foundational knowledge of the defence estate, what it entails, the ins and outs of the tender process, and strategies for writing competitive bids. We really focused on the mechanics of getting into the game. And then in phase two, we learned about the various risks that are inherent to defence infrastructure projects.
But today we're shifting gears in a big way. Because let's be real, winning defence work isn't like typical commercial projects, is it? It's not just about submitting the best paperwork when the tender drops. It's about relationships. And those relationships, they're often built months, sometimes years, before anyone thinks about a contract.
That's right. If you're focusing all your energy on responding to tenders without understanding, you know, the people and the networks behind them, you're coming in too late. Defence projects don't start with a formal bid. They start with awareness, trust and influence long before the procurement stage.
Yeah. And today we're going to dig into how you build that trust. It's a mix of strategy, timing and honestly, a bit of patience. You're not just pitching projects. You're positioning yourself as the solution they'll want to call before they even know they need help.
And it's precisely this proactive approach, relationship building and forward-thinking business development that we'll be unveiling. So strap in, there's a lot to explore today. All right, so Jessica, let's talk about building trust and relationships. Proactive business development is a crucial part of that. It's not just about reacting to tender opportunities. It's about stepping up, steering the conversation, and shaping the field long before there's even a formal opportunity. It's really about influence and foresight.
And that's such a mindset shift, isn't it? Because for a lot of businesses new to the defense game, the instinct is just to gear up when a request for tender or RFT drops. But by then, you're already behind the eight ball.
Exactly. By the time you're looking at an RFT, key decisions have already been made. Not about who wins the contract, of course, but about what the project looks like and often which companies are being seriously considered. And that's why relationship building matters so much.
Oh, 100%. So that's what we're exploring in phase three of this course. I've seen it firsthand. Some projects I've been a part of, the companies that got shortlisted weren't just the ones with the sharpest bids. They were the ones who already had a reputation, a positive one. Their names came up in early conversations because they were, what's that phrase you use once, embedded in the defense ecosystem?
That's the one. Defense projects are unique and they come with their own set of challenges. The stakes are high. These aren't short-term ventures. You're talking long-term collaborations where trust and credibility are valued even more than pricing alone. And being embedded means the defense stakeholders see you not just as a supplier, but as a trusted partner who truly understands their needs.
Right. And let's not forget, it's not just about knowing one person. In defense, decisions come from committees, program managers, project teams, sometimes a whole web of stakeholders. You really need to navigate that web strategically.
Yes, and navigating it strategically starts with understanding the difference between transactional relationships and strategic positioning. A transactional approach focuses on one project at a time. You win the contract, do the work, and move on. A proactive approach, however, is all about positioning your business well ahead of formal procurement processes.
And that's where the patience piece you mentioned earlier comes in, right? Like, this isn't a game of quick wins. Building these relationships takes effort over months, sometimes even years. You're essentially planting seeds and nurturing them for the long haul.
Exactly. And those seeds are, you know, things like attending defense industry forums, offering insights through thought leadership, or just being present when informal networking happens. They eventually grow into opportunities, but only if you're consistent. Reputation, visibility, and trust aren't built overnight.
And I feel we should emphasize that last bit, trust. Because when you're dealing with defense, it's not just about what you can deliver. It's about being seen as a safe, reliable choice. They need to know they can count on you for collaboration, not just one project, but for the next one too.
absolutely, trust underpins everything in defense business development. And that's why proactive positioning isn't just a nice to have, it's mission critical for long-term success. And without it, you're just scrambling for the crumbs left behind by better positioned competitors. That's where understanding the defense sales funnel becomes invaluable. It offers a clear roadmap, 5 stages to be precise: awareness, interest, consideration, action, and retention. These stages are key to guiding stakeholders from barely knowing your name to seeing you as a trusted long-term partner.
Okay, I love the sound of a funnel. It just makes things clearer, you know? Like, instead of feeling like you're chasing ghosts for defense work, you're moving through these solid steps where you can kind of measure progress. So what's step one?
Awareness, at this point, it's all about visibility. You're not selling or pitching. This is simply the stage where you need stakeholders to hear of your company and associate you with credibility in this sector. For example, that could be seeing your logo at a defense forum or reading a white paper your team published on sustainable-based design.
So this is where the groundwork happens, right? Like showing up at defense industry days or networking through those defense-focused associations. You want to be, what's the word, memorable? A name they recognize when your proposal eventually lands on their desk.
Precisely. The goal is for stakeholders to go, yes, I've heard of them, even if they don't have a detailed impression yet. It's about lighting the beacon, as I like to put it. But you have to be strategic. This isn't about showing up everywhere. Focus on building awareness in highly targeted forums where your work aligns with their priorities.
Got it. Start with a spark, then build the flame. What's the next stage?
Stage two is interest. This is where defense starts to say, hey, tell me more about company XYZ. Maybe they watched a presentation you delivered at a conference or saw a technical write-up from your team. They're curious, but not committed yet. At this stage, the key is nurturing that curiosity without rushing it.
Love that. And this stage is so delicate, isn't it? I mean, I've seen businesses lose steam here because they either bombard the client with too much too fast or they barely follow up at all. It's like reading the room is crucial.
Exactly. Listen more than you speak at this stage. Arrange a meeting, explore their pain points, and provide tailored examples that show you've done your homework. And once you've sparked genuine interest, it begins to pave the way for stage three, consideration.
This is the audition phase, right? Like they're thinking, do we trust this company to pull it off?
That's right. By the time a company is in consideration, there's often a specific project or need on the table, maybe even informal discussions within the defense team about who they should engage. And this is where you show credibility through your track record, tailored solutions, and even site visits or briefings to prove your capability. It's not about vague promises. It's about real tangible proof.
And this is where relationship building really pays off, isn't it? Like the difference between being considered and actually being shortlisted might come down to whether the people reviewing your proposal already know you as a safe bet.
Exactly, which brings us to the action stage. This is where the decision happens. From RFT submissions to negotiations, it's about delivering a compelling case that aligns with what you've learned from earlier stages. But remember, even at this stage, your relationship with defense can influence the little nuances of how your bid is received.
Little nuances that can make or break deals, for sure. And honestly, Darian, I feel like too many businesses stop right here. They think winning the tender is the end game, but it's really just the first big step.
Absolutely, which is why the final stage, retention, is often the most overlooked, yet the most critical for long-term success. And so this is about not just delivering outstanding work, but maintaining the relationship after the project ends. Post-project reviews, staying in touch, offering value beyond contracts, that's what keeps the funnel flowing.
Basically, if you over-deliver during retention, you're setting yourself up to be the first name they think of for the next job.
Exactly. The difference between a struggling newcomer and a trusted partner isn't just capability. It's staying top of mind. And that only happens when you put as much time into retention as you do into winning the work. That said, And speaking of staying top of mind, one of the most foundational yet surprisingly underutilized tools in defense business development is the relationship audit. It's one of those things that sounds simple in theory, but when done properly, it transforms how you engage with stakeholders.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've seen teams dive into projects assuming they know all the key players, but then they get blindsided because they didn't take the time to systematically map it all out. It's kind of like showing up to a chess match without knowing which pieces you're playing against.
Exactly. There's a principle I live by. You can't manage what you don't measure. If you don't take stock of who you know and how you're positioned with them, you're essentially flying blind in a relationship-driven market like defense. A relationship audit gives you clarity, who you know, who matters, and where your gaps are.
Okay, so let's break it down. Where do you even start with something like this? I mean, it sounds like a big task if you've got like 100 stakeholders across different projects.
It definitely can feel overwhelming. But the goal here is to be methodical. The first step is stakeholder mapping. That's the process of identifying everyone in the defense ecosystem who's relevant to a specific opportunity. Think of it as creating an organizational chart. But instead of job titles, you're mapping influence and connections.
Right. So you're looking at who's involved in, say, a particular base redevelopment project, like the project manager, the base commander, the user representative, even the procurement officer.
Exactly. You'd list everyone from decision makers to influencers and even tangential roles like environmental officers or consultants on related projects. The idea is to visualize the web of people who touch the project. Once that's done, you move to the next tool, the influence and interest matrix.
Wait, I love the sound of this matrix already. Is this where you figure out whose opinion really matters?
That's exactly it. You're prioritizing. You plot your stakeholders based on two factors, how much influence they have over the decision making and how invested they are in the project's outcome. It helps you see instantly who needs the most attention. For example, a base commander with high influence and high interest. That's someone you manage closely, a procurement officer with high influence, but lower day-to-day interest, you focus on keeping them satisfied.
And let me guess, that junior engineer with low influence but high interest, they're probably the ones you keep informed but don't spend tons of time on, right?
Spot on. What's great about this matrix is that it not only shows you where to focus, but it also highlights where you might need to step up your relationship building. For instance, if someone with high influence knows nothing about you or worse, thinks negatively of you, that's a glaring gap you need to act on immediately.
Oh man, I'm just thinking back to a project where we totally missed engaging a key stakeholder early on. When they finally got involved late in the process, they felt, you know, out of the loop. Not great for building trust.
Exactly. And it's mistakes like that which a relationship audit is designed to prevent. It forces you to ask, do we have the right connections? And if not, what's our strategy to close the gaps? And without that groundwork, you're leaving too much to chance.
Okay, so practical steps then. Say I'm sitting down with my team to do an audit. What's the checklist here? Like, how do we get started?
A great question. Simple checklist would include first identifying your stakeholders, categorizing them by roles and responsibilities. Next, assessing your relationship with each one. Do you know them? What's the quality of that relationship? Are they neutral, positive, or maybe even skeptical about your firm?
And I feel like this is where honesty really comes into play, right? Like you might think your team has good contacts, but when you map it out, the gaps kind of slap you in the face.
Exactly right. You also want to document who on your team has the connection. Sometimes you'll find surprising overlaps. Maybe one of your engineers worked with a key officer years ago but never mentioned it. And finally, use the influence and interest matrix to prioritize your outreach plan. It doesn't need to be fancy. A spreadsheet works just fine.
I love that it's all about being intentional. This isn't just about making a list and hoping for the best. It's about turning relationships into an actual strategy that helps win the work.
That's the key, Jessica. With a proper relationship audit, you're not only identifying gaps, but you're equipping yourself with a roadmap to better engage the right people at the right time. And that's where the real advantage lies in defense business development. Jessica, let's see how all those steps we discussed could play out in a real-world scenario. Imagine this. There's an upcoming large-scale redevelopment at Gallipoli Barracks involving workshops and accommodation facilities. It's exactly the kind of defence project where a thorough relationship audit could transform a company's positioning and potentially solidify its reputation. Sounds like a challenge worth digging into, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. Projects like this don't just drop out of the sky, though. If you're waiting for the tender announcement to start doing your homework, you're already miles behind.
Exactly. Defence Solutions Pty Ltd, a fictional firm, faced this exact scenario. They saw the potential but knew that success here wasn't just about having technical capabilities. It would all hinge on understanding the stakeholders, auditing their relationships and intentionally filling the gaps.
So, where do they start? A massive base like Gallipoli has tons of moving parts and people. How do you even begin tackling the network?
Well, the first step is stakeholder mapping, identifying everyone with a role in the project. And in this case, they outlined key players like the project sponsor from Defence's Infrastructure Division, the base commander, the on-site engineering officer, the procurement team, and even end user representatives like the commanding officers of the units using the facilities.
Right, so they're building this massive who's who list, but it doesn't stop there, does it?
Not at all. The real magic happens in the second step, the relationship audit. Defence Solutions. PTLT then asked critical questions. Do we know these stakeholders already? What's the quality of those relationships? Are there gaps? They discovered some strong points, like a positive history with the on-site major, but also glaring gaps, such as no connection to the base commander and none to the end user officers who'd be heavily invested in the project.
Oof, that's a wake-up call, isn't it? I mean, no touch point with the base commander? That's like trying to build on shifting sands. What do they do next?
You're exactly right. It's a huge gap. They turn to the influence and interest matrix to prioritize. The base commander with high influence and interest became their top target. Similarly, they prioritized rekindling their relationship with the project sponsor, while also strategizing indirect ways to connect with end user officers.
I love that they're using tools to strategize instead of just winging it. So how does this play out in practice?
They were deliberate. For the base commander, they sought an introduction through existing contacts, like the site's engineering officer. And once introduced, they highlighted their credentials, shared relevant past project wins, and tailored their capabilities to align with this base's needs, minimizing disruptions during the construction phase.
And what about the project sponsor? I feel like that's where things can go stale fast if you don't stay on their radar.
Good observation. They leveraged an existing connection, a project manager who'd worked with the sponsor years ago. A casual reach out led to a face-to-face meeting where they listened carefully to her concerns and shared updates relevant to the Gallipoli project, positioning themselves as collaborative and proactive.
And I'm guessing that relationship building early on gave the sponsor more confidence when it came time to shortlist contenders.
Exactly. By the time the tender was announced, Defence Solutions wasn't just another name on the bidders list. They were a familiar, trusted presence. The base commander and project sponsor had already seen their proactive attitude and understanding of defence priorities. It's a textbook example of turning gaps into opportunities.
Wow, this just proves how much groundwork happens behind the scenes. It's not sexy or flashy, but it works. When done right, it feels like everything just clicks into place.
It does, and the best part, even if they didn't win the project, those strengthened relationships are an investment in future opportunities. That's the kind of long game that changes the trajectory of a business in the defence sector. The Gallipoli Barracks example really underscores one thing. Managing relationships in the defence sector isn't just reactive, it's strategic. It's about intentionally tailoring your approach to each stage of the funnel. Awareness, interest, consideration, action and retention. Let's start with awareness, the foundation.
Oh yeah, the groundwork. Awareness is all about showing up. You're not pitching anything here. You're just making sure people know you exist and hopefully associate your company with credibility and professionalism.
Exactly. Think of it as planting seeds. You do this by attending industry forums, publishing thought leadership pieces, or showcasing your capabilities at defense events. But it's not about flooding the market. It's about showing up where it truly matters.
Right, like strategic visibility. I mean, if someone Googles your company and finds nothing relevant to defense, that's a problem, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Conversely, if they see you sponsoring a military facilities panel or presenting on infrastructure innovations, that's when awareness starts to stick and evolves into the next stage, interest.
Okay, so now you've got their attention. How do you keep it without scaring them off? I've seen businesses fumble this part hard by either overwhelming stakeholders or honestly just ghosting them after the first interaction.
You're spot on. Interest is all about engagement tailored to their needs. Maybe it's a briefing on challenges they're facing or a demonstration of how your solutions work. The key is to listen more than you talk. Defence isn't looking for sales pitches. They're looking for partners who get it.
Exactly. Ask questions like, what are your biggest pain points on base? Or how do you see this project supporting your long-term goals? Those kinds of conversations build rapport and trust.
And once that trust is there, you progress to a consideration. By this point, there's typically a defined opportunity, though often informal, and they're gauging if you're a credible choice. This is where your track record and tailored solutions put you ahead.
So this is when you pull out all the stops, case studies, client testimonials, even taking them to visit a site you've worked on. Basically, showing, not just telling.
Precisely. You also want to anticipate and address their concerns head on. Maybe they're worried about timelines or your experience with similar projects. Whatever it is, show them why partnering with you mitigates those risks.
And then comes the action stage, the home stretch, right? But it's not a guarantee yet. I've seen bids fall apart here if the execution doesn't align with what the client expects or if the relationship wasn't strong enough.
That's the thing. Even at this stage, relationships play a critical role. From RFT submissions to final negotiations, everything you've built in earlier stages influences how your bid is received. It's less about just responding to specifications and more about demonstrating alignment and confidence.
And don't forget, this is a chance to show you're adaptable. Like if a concern comes up during negotiations, be ready to adjust. Professionally, of course. It's all about reinforcing trust.
Exactly. But here's where businesses often drop the ball. After they secure the project, they assume the work is done. And that's a huge mistake, which is why at the final stage, retention is critical for long-term success.
Retention's the secret sauce, isn't it? Like if you consistently deliver and stay in touch, maybe through post-project reviews or sharing industry insights, you become the go-to name for future work.
Absolutely. Retention is about staying top of mind by demonstrating value, even outside of active projects. It's what turns one-off contracts into recurring partnerships that sustain your business pipeline. And that brings us to why. To build on what we discussed about retention, Jessica, let's dive into one of the key ways to sustain those long-term partnerships, key tracking relationship interactions. This is where the rubber really meets the road and too often it gets overlooked.
Oh, absolutely. It's like you can have all the connections in the world, but if you're not keeping track of who you've spoken with and what's next, stuff slips through the cracks. I've totally seen teams scrambling to remember, wait, did we follow up with that colonel after last month's site visit?
Exactly. And that's why tools like customer relationship management systems or CRMs are invaluable. They centralize all your interactions with defense stakeholders, so nothing falls off the radar. It's not just about keeping records. It's about uncovering patterns and strategically planning your next moves.
Right. It's like having a map for relationship navigation. And let's face it, when there are dozens of stakeholders, a few post-it notes on your desk just won't cut it.
Absolutely not. You know, a good CRM will allow you to log every touch point, you know, emails, meetings, phone calls, all in one place. You can track who said what, when they said it, and what follow-up action is needed. Over time, this provides a comprehensive engagement history that's critical, especially when personnel change or someone new joins your team.
And this is where KPIs come into play, right? Like, you're not just tracking for the sake of tracking. It's about measuring what works. What kind of KPIs do you recommend focusing on?
A great question. First, look at how many defense contacts you're adding each quarter. Are you growing your network with the right stakeholders? Then monitor the number of face-to-face interactions or meaningful conversations per month. Also, track conversion rates. How many contacts are moving from awareness to interest and from interest to consideration? This helps you spot weaknesses in your process.
I love that. It's like putting your BD efforts under a microscope, and it probably helps avoid wasting time on contacts who were never going to convert in the first place, right?
Exactly. And here's another critical piece, pipeline reviews. Make it routine to sit down as a team and go through your opportunities. Ask questions like, well, what stage are we at with this client? What's our next step? Are there any red flags we need to address before things stall? This keeps everyone aligned and accountable.
Oh, totally. We did that on a project once and found out no one had updated our CRM for weeks. Turns out we missed an important follow-up. Luckily, we caught it in time. But yeah, those regular check-ins can save you from dropping the ball.
That's a perfect example. And it's worth mentioning that not every metric is quantitative. Qualitative feedback matters just as much. For instance, after a meeting, document the stakeholders' tone or interest level. Did they seem genuinely curious? Did they ask a lot of follow-up questions? These subtle cues are gold when planning your next move.
And I bet those insights really pay off once you start spotting trends too. Like, you could realize, hey, it typically takes us 5 interactions to move from interest to consideration. Let's make sure we're pacing our efforts right.
Exactly. Tracking isn't just about the now. It's about using data to refine your future strategy. Over time, you develop an understanding of how long certain stages typically take and what touch points yield the best results. It transforms business development from a guessing game into a deliberate, structured effort.
And let's not forget, defense is a long game. If you're not tracking and evaluating your engagements, you're just spinning your wheels. With the right tools and strategy, though, that's how you stay ahead of the pack.
So, Jessica, thinking about everything we've explored, it's clear that tracking and evaluating relationships isn't just a nice to have. It's the backbone of defense business development. Without strong, well-managed relationships, even the sharpest proposals or most innovative solutions struggle to gain traction. It really underpins every step of the process.
Absolutely. And those relationships, they don't just happen on their own. You've got to start early, be strategic about how you nurture them and actually measure your progress. It's like building a bridge. You can't skip steps or expect it to spring up overnight.
Exactly. And one immediate step anyone listening can take today, begin auditing your current defense contacts. Take just one project or one target base and map out who your key stakeholders are. Then identify one critical connection you're missing, just one. And make it your goal to start building that bridge.
And honestly, don't overthink it. Even a small step, like reaching out to say hello or asking for an introduction, can get the ball rolling. Remember, visibility and consistency are everything when it comes to earning trust in this sector.
That's right. It's all about staying intentional, showing up where it counts, and demonstrating your value over time. And once those relationships are in place, they'll pay dividends, not just in the next tender, but for years down the track.
Which honestly makes the whole process worth it. I mean, think of it as an investment in your business's future. Play the long game, and before you know it, you're not just competing, you're a go-to. And that, Darian, is what makes all the difference.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Jessica. And with that, we'll wrap up today's episode of Mastering Defense Infrastructure. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. Whether you're just starting out in the defense sector or you're here to sharpen your strategies, we hope this episode gave you tangible tools to push forward.
Yeah. And hey, if you found today's conversation helpful, don't forget to share it with your colleagues or subscribe and leave a review. And if you haven't done so yet, why not support us by taking out a paid DECNET Pro membership? As well as access to useful premium content, it also comes with loads of networking opportunities and additional benefits. Just head over to decknet.com.au/pro. We're in this together, building better defense infrastructure one step at a time.
On that note, take care. Good luck with your relationship building, and we'll see you next time.